politic as it was unjust. After strenuous efforts by Mr. Pitt and Mr. Fox, Parliament became interested and instituted an inquiry into the abuses of the slave trade. Finally, Mr. Wilberforce was drawn into the controversy, and for 16 years waged an incessant warfare against the planters, meeting with defeat in his plans for 10 consecutive years. But finally, in 1807, he was successful, and the slave trade was abolished. These assailants of the slave trade had promised not to try to abolish slavery, but in a short time they learned that the trade was still carried on in ships sailing under the protection of false flags. Tales of the cruelties practiced upon the helpless chattels were continually reaching the ears of the British public, some of them such as to sicken the most cold-hearted and indifferent. For instance, causing a child to whip his mother until the blood ran. If a slave looked his master in the face, his limbs were broken. Women in the first stages of their accouchement, upon refusing to work, were placed in the treadmill, where terrible things happened, too dreadful to relate. Through the efforts of Granville Sharp, the chairman of the London Committee, Lord Stanley, Minister of the Colonies, introduced into the House of Commons his bill for emancipation. Lord Stanley Bill proposed gradual emancipation, and was the best thing those men of wisdom could devise. Earnestly devoted to their task, they sought to wipe from the fair escutcheon of the empire the awful blot which was upon it. By the adoption of the bill, Great Britain not only liberated a people from the cruelties of their masters, but at the same time took an important step forward in the onward march of progress, which the most enlightened nations are unconsciously forced to make by the great law of advancement, for the civility of no race can be perfect whilst another race is degraded. In this bill of gradual emancipation, certain conditions were proposed. All slaves were entitled to be known as apprenticed laborers, and to acquire thereby all the rights and privileges of freemen. These conditions were that predials should owe 3/4 of the profits of their labors to their masters for 6 years, and the non-predials for 4 years. The other 1/4 of the apprentice's time was to be his own, which he might sell to his master or to other persons, and at the end of the term of years fixed, he should be free. In the winter of 1790, when these important changes in the life of the Negro of the West Indies were pending, many planters were following the course of events with great anxiety. Many feared that in the end their slaves would be taken from them without recompense, and thereby render them